baby.
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Jitter Park. Some movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It's just so familiar.
It's hilarious. I think we did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Cole.
Hey, you bite your tongue if this is not hold up.
Cream corn tonight.
Cream corn tonight.
That should be good corn time. It's a movie. Just wait for the big giveaway at 9.
To help you make a stand. Baby, can you dig your man? He's a Robert man. Happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you.
Tonight's show is called Santa Baby, Can You Dig Your Man? And we had a great show. What's new, Robert? What have you been up to?
I took an extra day off during Thanksgiving, so I actually been sitting in front of the TV a lot, not doing any of my to-do list, you know, usual stuff.
As you should, of course.
Yeah, what about you?
Same. Had a list. Still have a great list here of things to do, and not doing any of them.
Maybe so. Over the Christmas holidays, I'll do something. So.
Yeah, you got to give yourself something to look forward to.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So you're listening, everybody, to Set Jitter Saturdays, of course, with the maestro himself, Robert Patterson, and we're going to kick it off with what you've been watching. So, Robert, let's start with you. What have you been watching, sir?
On the small screen, I've been doing a lot of retro stuff. So I watched Barefoot in the Park, and this is the HBO version, where they film a play. So it'd be was it Richard Thomas and lost her name from Bess Armstrong are as the leads. So I've not seen it probably in 15 years. So I thought I'd kind of give it another go. So I assumed you probably have not seen that version.
I have not seen that one.
It is on YouTube now, so you can check it
Barefoot
out.
Barefoot in the Park. What year are we talking here?
So this is 81. So this is not the movie, but this is HBO would shoot a... Not, this wasn't shot on Broadway, but somewhere else, like a Portland or something like that. So
it's
a play that they shot and so forth. So
right. Yeah, I'm familiar with Barefoot in the Park. I don't think I've seen that rendition, though.
Yeah, so I love Bess Armstrong, so I gave
who doesn't love Bess Armstrong?
I can't name a person that who does not. So I also watched Best Friends, Goldie Hawn and Burt Reynolds, if you're familiar with that one, 1982.
No, I'm not. I'm ashamed to say.
They play a Hollywood couple, a writing couple, that decide to get married, and then which ends up kind of spoiling their relationship. But they, part of it is they have to go visit their parents, and so you have like Jessica Tandry and Audra Lindley and Barnard Hughes, and so it's a great supporting cast. There's still some amusing parts in it, but
no,
it's one of those like
Burt Reynolds, 1982.
Yes.
So he's right off of Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Yep.
So that's my favorite era of Burt Reynolds.
And you've not seen this one?
No. Well, not that I recall. Burt Reynolds and Goldie Hawn.
Goldie Hawn. Yeah. Movie magic, 1982.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that on my homework to-do list.
You should. I still have a couple. It still gave me a couple laughs, you know. So,
hey, if you like it, it's good. I'm going to watch it.
So it was a little bit, like I said, I saw every movie that came out as a kid. So it's not a movie for 12-year-olds, but I still want to go see it. So,
but
you
I
know.
Still wanted to see
a friend told me give Fresno a second chance.
What is Fresno?
Fresno is Carol Burnett, Charles Grodin. It's supposed to be kind of like not quite a parody. 1986 was probably way too like kind of a parody of Falcon Crest and Dallas and Dynasty.
Okay, the like rich aristocracy.
Yeah, and it's really just not that funny.
really? Even Carol Burnett can't save that one.
No. Terry Garr's in it. Now I will say there is one line that Terry Carr gives that I literally watched 10 times.
What is the line?
It's stupid. It's Charles Grodin throws a drink in her face and Carol Burnett, it's like, oh, come on, or something like that. And Terry Carr says, it's all right. It's about to take a sip anyway.
I do love Terry Garr.
I do too.
She had such a great string of films.
She did. And so there's a few parts here and there that obviously that line maybe made it with her, but it's a long, you know, it's a 4-hour.
Dabney Coleman's in it, I'm reading.
Yeah, yeah.
So I loved in Boardwalk Empire. Of
course, Dabney Coleman, good in everything. So, but anyway, so yes. I gave that a watch. It's probably not quite worth the investment. So, as I was continuing back in time, Roller Boogie, I gave that I've had that on Blu-ray, but I've not watched it on Blu-ray. So I thought I should spin that up. And,
what's Roller Boogie?
It's still one of my favorites that, you know, Linda Blair, Kimberly Beck, Trish Jarvis is in it.
Yeah.
And I've been to a few of the locations over the years, but I thought I haven't done a proper one, you know, real good screenshots and stuff like that. So, I'll add that to my list. And because of that, I thought, you know, I should give Skate Town USA another try because I never do. I mean, and I tried and I watched it through, but it is not
good.
It is not.
Patrick Swayze, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was introducing Patrick Swayze. I think that was.
Yeah. 79.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's introducing.
It's kind of strange because he plays like the badass, whatever, but then he's like dancing up a storm, you know, like.
Of course.
Yeah.
He's a ballet dancer.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just kind of a, you know.
Dancing up a storm.
It's one of those like where they kind of try to build, you know, Ruth Buzzy's in three scenes, you know, they try to kind of build up the big cast or whatever, but it just does not work. And
it's not.
Certainly
it's
does not hold home. Up. To the classic that is Roller Boogie.
Roller Boogie.
Keep the change, Bobby James.
Keep the change, Bobby James.
I think I made her sign that, Linda Blair, on one of her autographs.
So. I like that you got her autograph. That's cool.
Yeah. Not for Exorcist, but for Roller Boogie. So same with Irwin Yablans, who produced Halloween, that I had him sign my Roller Boogie DVD at the time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I think people appreciate that when you don't go to the obvious.
Yeah, Halloween, come on.
Yeah, come on.
We know the classics.
Get out of town. Roller Boogie it is.
Natural Born Killers, so got that on 4K earlier this year, and so I thought I'd put that up. So,
Rodney Dangerfield's finest role.
Him and Edie McClurg.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
She's like,
poor Edie's not doing well.
No, she's wonderful on that, too. I'm just trying to picture her behind the scenes. You know, being lit on fire. Well, actually,
both of them, yeah.
Yeah, so some of it has not aged that well, but Juliette Lewis she just leaps off the screen. You know, she's still just
she's
the
great.
Amount of energy she puts. Yeah.
Tom Sizemore.
Yes. So she's, to me, really what that movie's about, kind of less than.
Was Oliver Stone the director of that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's where, you know, it was good for the time. You know, he's kind of taking himself pretty seriously, but she has so many moments in that film, and I forget one of them. I mean, she goes right to she addresses the camera directly after they kill the Native American old fella. And she's like, why? And she like looks right into camera and stuff like that, which I don't know. It's just one of those great scenes that I forgot about.
Yeah, yeah. It you like it.
Likewise, I had bought Carrie in 4K, so I thought I better pop that on.
How'd it look?
It looked really good. So, you know, it's just, I forgot I was going to resend you because I saw another video of when I saw it for the 40th anniversary that we've talked about when they turned the lights red. But yeah, so it's good. It makes me want to turn my lights red somehow when I watch that scene.
It makes you want to turn the lights red. Yeah, how does the split screen stuff look? It's all
everything looks fantastic. Yeah, obviously this is probably the best that it has ever looked. So, but yeah, so it was kind of nice to kind of see that.
Such a classic.
It is. So obviously I was going through Blu-rays and DVDs that I bought, but I'm not watched. And one of those was The Entity.
The Entity.
Yes, which I kind of forget about. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Barbara Hershey, 1982.
Is it a horror film?
It is. Came out same year as Poltergeist, and Poltergeist kind of outshined it.
Because it has the same kind of artwork as The Thing I'm seeing.
A little bit, yeah. So, so based on a true story. And for the most part, they kind of follow it for the most part, but it does kind of go, they do their own thing for the third act, I'll say.
Would you watch it more than like once a year kind of movie? Is it like?
I have not, but it's better than I remember.
Okay.
So
it's a supernatural horror film.
Yes. So it's more or less for the woman that she plays has been, she gets assaulted and sexually assaulted by this ghost or multiple ghosts, whatever. So it's not quite easy.
It's not a popcorn flick.
No. Yeah. But it's still, it still works for me.
It's a powerful film.
Yeah, and not super powerful, but some of the kind of ideas kind of work for me. And now it probably rings a little bit differently than it did as a kid, because obviously now I'm watching it and I'm like, here's this woman that's claiming all these things happen and nobody believes her. In 2023, it just rings a little different, you know?
Right. No, would not be the case today.
Yeah.
And Barbara Hershey is the main character.
Yep. And this was her first, I think, lead role. So, and she talks about she did kind of new interviews on the Blu-ray. So, as did Charles Bernstein, who did the soundtrack, who also did the soundtrack for the original Nightmare on Elm Street. So, which,
I like that. Cool.
Yeah, so it has really a decent soundtrack. So it kind of follows along. You know, Ron Silver playing. He always plays the asshole. You know. So I say give it a recommendation, you know, and I've been to the house and the real house.
Do you have a page on it?
I do, I think.
Oh, I think it's gotta look for that. I don't know if I've seen that one. And I thought I've seen everything.
Yeah. It's not a true, I think it just has a couple of locations, but, as I was watching, I'm like, okay, I need to flesh this out and do a kind of more of a full location work for it, even though I need to do a better job. I'll say that. So.
Unlikely. Robert's work is never in question.
Well, I remember going to the house. I remember finding it at the time years ago, before everybody else did, of course. But yeah, it still looked the same at the time. So, but I think I just went to the house, and then which is in El Segundo, and then the real house where it supposedly happened is over in Culver City, so just a few miles away. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool.
A few miles bird's eye, but of course, 2 hours in LA time.
Right, 4.5 hours just to get across town.
From Culver City to El Segundo. So
that happened to me yesterday. I went out to get something at the store and gas, I think. No, I picked up prescription. It was under a mile distance for two trips. It was 45 minutes in the car.
Yeah. It's like, great. So glad I did this.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I get why people do like DoorDash and everything for trivial things in LA. I've always made fun of that. Like, why don't you just go? But like, I get it. You don't want to spend an hour getting Advil.
Yeah. Why waste the time? So
you'd rather wait. But anyway, so let's keep an eye out for that. I'm going to put it on the list. The end.
I would give it a recommendation. So, I do have it on Blu-ray. So whatever level that is.
Oh, it's five stars.
there you go. Yeah. I also watched The Stepford Husbands.
Is that a new one?
No, it's old. It was like a made-for-TV movie.
1996.
Donna Mills plays the female lead, and obviously it's another, also takes place in Stepford in the same universe.
How is it? I've never seen this thriller.
It's been a long time, and so it's not on Blu-ray. It's not even on DVD, so you really just have to kind of find this. Cindy Williams is in it. Sarah Douglas, Ursa from Superman 2. Louise Fletcher. So
Sydney Williams from Laverne and Shirley.
It's a good cast. Everybody has kind of bit part, and so I haven't watched it in a while. And then of course I started going down the let's find every location. So it was shot down in Wilmington, North Carolina, which I have not been to yet. So now between that and Halloween Kills and King Kong Lives, and
we got a party.
Yeah, I was just like, I think it's time to go. So yeah. Maximum Overdrive. Come on. All the classics.
You know, I could never find anybody to watch Maximum Overdrive with me. Not that I'm out seeking it, but
made you.
For whatever reason, I've been in situations where that movie has been on TV or in the old days, it's like it's available to rent right there. And recently it was streaming somewhere and nobody wants to watch that movie. It's bad, but it's fun. Come on.
It's, I don't know. I love
better than Trucks.
What a bore. So obviously I love Wanda June. And
you do, don't you? Doctor.
I do. And then, I think we were just talking about her. She's in JFK, Oliver Stone's JFK.
Oh, right.
She plays the woman in red. Yeah. So it's just, yeah. She's one of my favorites. So she should do a Hollywood show, I think. So
that would be a good addition.
I would get 2 autographs from her. I'm just saying that.
You'd have to.
Wanda June or whatever your name is out there. So
what is her name?
It's Ellen, I think. Something. Yeah, something possibly. Like that.
Ellen McElduff.
Okay. So go to the Hollywood show.
She go to the Hollywood show, please.
Please. Which Hollywood show is getting somebody else good that I'm really excited now. I'll have to look it up. But it's not Leslie Ann Warren. It's something like that. Lee Taylor Young, who was in a couple of my favorite movies, Secret Admirer and Looker.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I mean, I can't be more excited that she's going to
Lee Taylor Young.
Yes. So.
She was in Picket Fences, too.
Yeah. So she's been in a lot of stuff, but
she's been around the block.
We still do lines from Secret Admirer, her lines from Secret Admirer. So.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah, well, if it's so a staple like that, you got to meet her.
It's like, can you please say that? Actually, I probably will make her say this line for my sister. So.
Oh, it's yeah.
Defined fixed costs.
Wait, Looker is the.
Albert Finney, Susan Day, turning models into CGI models and then killing the models so you don't have to pay them.
I was just talking about with Albert Finney today. He was in one of the Christmas carols, too.
So seems pretty relevant.
Seems pretty relevant.
I'm just saying.
Look at her.
They should remake that. So.
Oh, that she was in Soylent Green.
Oh, yeah. So she's
Soylent
been
Green
a lot.
Is very underrated.
I'm excited to kind of see her. So in new movie stuff. So I did watch May December, which I think is on Netflix now.
How is it?
Julianne Moore and Natalie Portman. So Todd Haynes is one of my favorite directors. It's not at the level of his other stuff, I'll say that. But it could be one of those that maybe it'll hit me later.
You weren't gaga over it?
No. So I was expecting a little bit. I mean, especially anything Julianne Moore, usually she just kind of knocks it out of the park. And this is a little bit more subdued, I guess. So. He directed her in Safe, which is one of my favorites, and Far From Heaven.
Okay, cool.
But
Todd Haynes.
Yeah, it's interesting. It ends up being more about I'm going to call him the kid but he's not, he's an adult now. She plays a woman that ended up, or she accused, she says he seduced her, but. One of her students, you know, and then end up getting married and so forth. I can't remember the name of the who they're kind of riffing this off of in real life. And Natalie Portman plays an actress who's going to be portraying her in a movie. So she goes to visit her for a few days and so forth. So there's some stuff that I was kind of like,
that sounds really interesting.
Yeah. So it's probably it's a rainy afternoon, you know, if.
Yeah.
You want some Julianne Moore? And I'm like looking, I'm like, this looks familiar. So it was shut down in Savannah, Georgia, home of Halloween Ends. But
sounds like you got a trip to the South coming up.
I think I might have to go to the South again. So
you got some great locations down there.
I watched Genie with Melissa McCarthy, which is.
How is it?
Actually, here's the thing. Cute. She can mostly do no wrong. So it's a watch film for me. And there's a couple. It's a little sidelines, you know, she just kind of throws away that I just get a tickle out of, you know.
Yeah.
Because he's talking about Jesus. She's Mary's son? Oh, really? You know, like she's been around.
She is great.
And then my other kind of favorite throwaway line, she says something about, she goes, oh, I love cats. So delicious. And I'm just like.
I love that kind of humor.
I know. It's just like, they just keep moving on, you know, and so.
Yeah.
So it's kind of it is fun, you know, that I won't, it's no Spy that I'll watch over and over again, but it's probably kind of worth it.
I do love Melissa McCarthy though. She is great. She's fun.
So, I bought a walking pad so I can maybe burn a few calories. So, I did some walking and watching Family Switch, the new Jennifer Garner, Christmas Freaky Friday type of movie where,
oh yeah, I thought about you when I saw something on that.
Yeah, the mom and dad switch with the daughter and son, and the baby switches with the dog, and
that old Hollywood tale.
It's not that good, you know.
No.
I mean, no, it's just like it's kind of, you know, Jennifer Garner. I mean, she's kind of doing another riff on 13 going on 30, which they do mention. I mean, they have these throwaway lines in the kitchen when they're like, where I think the boy goes, I'm 13 going on 30, and the girl's like, I'm 17 again. So they're recognizing all the
right
that they're
right, they're owning it
taking
at
it
that
after
point.
So, yeah, so but
oh cool,
but it's obviously
mindless
in the background. Maybe if you're folding laundry, you can.
Well, in your rating system, that's 2 stars.
So, yeah, that's about right then. So,
okay.
And then I went to the theater and saw Saltburn.
Ooh, how is Saltburn?
It was good. Certainly not as, it was not as good as Promising Young Woman.
Okay.
So she, Emerald, what's her name? Fennell directed, I think, so this is just her second film, because I think Promising Young Woman was her first. So did you see Promising Young Woman?
I think I didn't.
Yeah. Highly, highly, highly recommend.
Maybe one. I did. I gotta remember. I know who she is.
So
Emerald Fennell.
So she's in Barbie. She's more of an actress than a
director.
But she started. So so Promising Woman was fantastic.
Oh, she's in, this is on my list, she's in The Crown.
Oh,
she's Camilla Parker Bowles. That's why it's in my freshman mind.
So,
yeah.
Just went to Alamo today to kind of check this out. So she had a little thing before the film, kind of talking about what films inspired her, which was kind of, one of them was Cruel Intentions, which I see a lot of Cruel Intentions in this film. So here's the thing. Saltburn, it's good. It is too long-winded. I think it would be better to have a good 20-30 minutes kind of cut out. But it's not getting good reviews, but there's enough in it that I like that.
It justifies the long-windedness.
I think so. And then there's some, I don't want to say it's shocking, but I kind of was like, oh, they're doing this. They're doing, you know. And then afterwards, we're leaving, and I'm going to call them kids because they were probably late teens, 20-somethings or whatever. They're like, oh my God, that scene. Like they couldn't believe some of the things that
they couldn't
you know what I mean?
It.
Yeah. So yeah. There's like, oh, I was like, oh, some kind of,
it's funny when
shocked some of the kids, maybe. I don't know. So
wait, what?
Shocked some of the kids.
Oh, shocked. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny when that happens too. And you see different reactions and you're like, really? That did it for you?
And maybe then, you know, I've been to enough Sundance films. I'm like, oh, here we go.
Here we go. Here we go.
we're doing this, I guess. We're going
Robert
down this,
knows.
Yeah. Going down this corner. But unexpected stuff, I should say. Rosamund Pike is in it, who I usually do not Gone Girl.
yeah, right.
Care for, but she's good in this too. So
yeah, she can be kind of a one trick pony. Die Another Day.
We were wondering. I was like, she was a Bond girl, but I couldn't remember which one. So
it wasn't a Bond girl. Was just in it.
She was just a Bond woman.
That was a blurred. Die Another Day was a blurred Bond girl movie because Halle Berry was an A-lister at the time, and she was like, I guess, the Bond girl.
Yeah.
But she was also like a supporting character that was like an agent, kind of like Y Lin was in Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yeah.
But also they had Terry Hatcher, like towards the end of the Brosnan, they just threw as many like famous females they could.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Where before it was like one Bond girl, that's it. So it's interesting. Hmm. But yeah, Die Another Day.
So I think that's what I'm watching. That's what I'm, it seems like a lot. I didn't really have
that. That is a lot. That's
so
good.
But, It's I do not sit around and watch movies all day. It looks like I do, but I do not.
But you do not.
Yeah.
Robert does a lot of good stuff.
I try. So what have you been watching?
When you talk about throwaway lines, Melissa McCarthy, I rewatched The Flash. Mm. And one of the lines that I love is when they're at Wayne Manor. And the later Barry Allen's just like, what do you think we're doing here? We're looking for Batman. He's like, I thought it was the cousin's dinner. You know, because in the earlier scene, he's like, oh, we have a cousin's dinner to go to. And that whole thing, that whole sequence of the two Barry Allens gets, I don't know, to me, it gets old kind of quickly.
Yeah.
But there are some funny lines in there where they're bantering.
I only watched it once, so I'll probably have to give it another watch sometime.
I enjoyed it more this time. I watched it twice before, theatrical, like it first came out. But I really took my time with it this time, and I noticed things I haven't, which made me watch Batman Returns after that.
All right.
Because I was like, I gotta see the Batcave again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is that your most kind of exciting? Yeah. What brings you back to Batman Returns?
Well, The Flash, when they're in the Batcave, mm-hmm. I kind of want it's Christmas. It's a Christmas movie, arguably. Mm-hmm. So it has that Christmas spirit, and it just kind of itch. You know, I got the itch to do it from seeing the Batcave in The Flash, and I had to do it. I got to tell you, Max Schreck should have had his own movie with just the way he talked. Shrewd, yes. Monster, no. You know, he's just such a ridiculous character.
It is kind of that bridge, you know, between it is the bridge between Batman and Batman Forever, you know, and Batman and Robin, you know, like where we kind of take and Tim Burton's doing it, so he know what he's doing. You know, he kind of stepped up to more comic booky, even though it is dark. For lack of a better word,
it is. It is.
But
dark.
Yeah.
I did put on, but then I was like, I'm going to go to bed now. Batman and Robin after that. This was last night. And I was like, I'm going to go to bed now.
You just skip over Batman Forever?
Yeah. You're just like. I did. Well, you know what? For whatever reason, it came up next and suggested. I'm like, okay. Well,
maybe I'll give it another try.
I know why Superman works alone. And that's when I was like, bedtime. That's the line.
I've never seen that in the theater. And I mean, you know, George Clooney is a head bobber. And once you have those ears on, you know, like, I was like, just tone it down. Come on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The ears, it's very distracting. And Schwarzenegger, I mean, I remember seeing that in the theater, too. And even as, a teenager, I was like,
Something's not right.
Something's very
something
off.
Smells. Back to Batman Returns, I remember it was a huge deal about the Catwoman suit, which now we just love.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was just like, I remember telling a friend, because I think,
big deal.
And he's like, what do you mean she sewed it herself? I'm like, there's big stitches. And, you know, like, he was like, really? You know, but worked. Yeah.
Yeah. And people, I was reading in the IMDb that people would steal that poster off of bus stops because I don't know why, but that was a big deal. And those posters are worth a lot of money today. So I figured you probably have one.
So I used to order posters through, we had a local thing, and then I think it was called Rick's Movie Graphics. And so I'd always order posters.
Oh, cool.
Directly from them when the movies came out. So that's where I have a whole storage of film posters and video posters and all sorts of things. So, which I are just catching dust right now.
Yeah, you know, it's cool. I think movie posters are great art to have, especially originals. And what's cool about them is you can always swap them out. You know, because they're usually in a movie room or an office, and you can just swap them out every few months and switch.
So
it up.
I have obviously Halloween 2018, and then Halloween 78 original version.
Oh yeah,
which is really
the night he came home.
Yeah, okay. When it feels like the edges are kind of falling apart, and then decide the original Scream and Scream 2.
Oh, I love it. I love that you have those out. And I love, we'll get into this later, but I love the aliens in the back. I'm fanboying out now.
I dug some stuff out for you. So what else have you been watching?
I watched Aliens 1 through 3.
You just skipping 4? You just
You know what? I did have 4 on, but I did not finish 4. No. The basketball, and I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But Alien 1... is such a great underrated movie. I know everyone loves two, and I love two the best, as you should. But one is really psychologically there, and it's Sigourney as a strong female lead. You know, it's just such a great, great movie. Ridley Scott really did a good job. I watched Superman Returns, which I think we both love.
Yes, I do.
He was a great Superman. That's a fun
movie. He was. Not sure if she was the right Lois Lane.
Yeah, Kate Bosworth?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Kevin Spacey was good, I should say, as Lex Luthor. Parker Posey, I thought, was a suitable... she wasn't playing Miss Tessmacher, but I loved...
Yeah.
What's her line when she comes about? She goes, about the brakes. Like,
yeah.
Marlis, you didn't really have to cut the brake lines.
Right. It's that one extra oomph that you're like, okay, this works. I like it.
Yeah. So she was good. I like Jimmy Olsen in it. I met the guy that played him. And one of my favorite, he doesn't even have the line, but you know, when, I think they're all eating dinner or something at the Daily Planet, and it has this kind of slow chew, kind of looking at them and so forth. But yeah, so I liked it. It didn't do very well. And obviously Bryan Singer's a whole nother issue that we kind of layer on top of it. But
yeah.
But I thought it was good.
Yeah, it is. It is good. It is fun. What else? Okay. So The Crown released 4 episodes of the last season, and they're going to release the additional 6 or whatever in December.
Gotcha.
But really, really good. They jump right into it. Unfortunately, in real life, you know, Princess Diana had that untimely accident, and they jumped. What? Michael Jackson died? They had. They jumped right into that, and they don't show anything. I mean, they keep it respectful, but it does kind of take you back. It is sad, but I think it's so far the best season they've had. I've watched them all. At least 5 times each. I'm a big fan of The Crown. And this one, they really did it right. And they used the right amount of restraint, I think, versus, you know, fodder that people, that the media wants you to hear. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. So I skipped I watched the first couple seasons, and then I paused. And then I thought about just jumping in right into...
Of The Crown?
Yeah, the current season, obviously, since it's kind of more timely to me of what I kind of remember.
Yeah.
Kind of at the time. But yeah, so it is, I mean, it was just around internet time, but not everybody had it, and it was still watching CNN at 1 in the morning
to see
what happened and stuff like that, or just news flashes that kind of came through. Not too different than JFK, or not too different than JFK Jr.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
It's been the internet. This is what I call the glory Wild West days of the internet, because, like, I had the internet, but not every teacher did, so you could kind of, like, rip anything you want that somebody put online, and they were none the wiser. And I remember people would be like, you can't use the internet for a source. And you're like, really? Like, the world's going to be going here.
Now it just writes papers for you.
Even as a kid, I thought that was funny that they were like, don't use the internet. I'm like, yeah, we're all going to be using it in 5 years.
Yeah. Not now.
But yeah, it was fun. Pulp Fiction, I did a rewatch. Mm. I watched, which is always good. Get Gotti is a new documentary about John Gotti on Netflix.
Okay.
I've seen most mob documentaries, and I've read a lot of books on Gotti. It's good. It doesn't give you anything you don't already know, but it has some more interviews with different people, and it's kind of interesting to talk about that. I watched The Impossible.
Is that the tsunami one?
It is. It is. And it's a powerful film. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but it focuses
on one
family.
I have, but it's been a long while. And I remember, obviously, the opening is what I remember most vividly.
Yeah.
And kind of seeing somebody behind the scenes, because we see other videos where it's like, oh, just run from the wave, and that's not the reality of.
Right.
Yeah.
And what I thought was good about The Impossible was why they focus on one family. They do a good job of showing the magnitude of the whole scope and not just, hey, this poor white family from England on vacation, let's feel bad for them. Because on paper, that would be a pretty bad script. If you're like, well,
yeah,
200,000 people die. Why are we focused on this white family from Britain that shouldn't
because
even...
Because they were on vacation.
Right, so it's sadder. But they didn't do that. So, which I was going into that a little skeptical.
Yeah.
I watched Reptile, Netflix.
Is that the Justin Timberlake?
Yes.
And I've not watched that.
It's okay.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, so... It's a thriller, detective, crime, murder, thriller kind of thing. But they throw you for a few loops. And what's his name? The actor. My name is Matt Clark, and I have all the facts. Benicio del Toro.
Oh, yeah.
He does a good job. He plays a detective. Some of it's in Pennsylvania. Some's in, I think it was Vermont. But they do a good job with the references and the accents. And it reminded me a little bit of Prisoners with Jake Gyllenhaal, which I love that movie. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Reptile.
Okay. Well,
Alicia Silverstone's in it. And she doesn't need
girl,
to be.
Batgirl's in it.
She doesn't need to be. She has an okay
Alfred.
Role. But it makes you want to watch Aerosmith videos. I think I put on like... Get a Grip when the movie was done. I was like, I just want to like listen to Crazy now. She'll forever be the Aerosmith girl to me.
Yeah. She was good. Was it American Horror Stories or a Horror Story? I can't remember. So she played a little bit. She should probably
she's not bad actress at all.
Work. Yeah. So, yeah. But anyway.
And she does a good job.
Good.
Michael Pitt's in there and he was in, you know, The Village and a bunch of other movies. But he does a really good job. I think he was the standalone guy in this. He should be. I mean, Boardwalk Empire and Last Days. I mean, that guy I think should have like an Oscar by now. I don't know if he's acting so much, or what his deal is. I know he had some issues where he was like difficult to work with or something. I don't remember, but I don't know. He should be doing more work. And then I watched. Okay, so Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, I finally watched the extra scenes that I've never seen before.
Yeah. And?
They're really good. Obviously, you can't make a four-hour movie, but it's classic Candy and Martin doing their thing. And you know how you watch other films, or in a lot of cases, deleted scenes, and you're like, yeah, it's not good or whatever? It was all great. They had to... discriminate of what they're going to take out. And I think John Hughes did a really great job and a hard job of that arduous task of deciding what to leave in, because there was really some gold in those scenes of John Candy and Steve Martin improvising. If you get a chance to watch it, it's all on YouTube. Somebody uploaded it.
So. I will do that. So,
Theatrically, I saw Napoleon.
Huh? And how was that? It's still on my to-do list. Worth it or not, I should ask.
Well, you know how like Joaquin Phoenix is like great in Joker and like brought all that stuff? He didn't do that with Napoleon. It was very... It's a good movie, but it's better... I think it was better for... They could have kept it an hour shorter.
Gotcha.
I wouldn't see it in the theater.
All right.
I'm a big history guy, so I mean, I love the whole premise. And the battle sequences in here, I think, are the best I've ever seen in any movie. It's better than 1917, better than Saving Private Ryan. They put a lot of money and time into making this look authentic. And
until Napoleon started using the internet. And then it was like, come on.
Come on. And I don't know. I got to watch it again. I don't know what Joaquin Phoenix was doing. And I know when you're portraying a character that there's no record of, you know, recording audio, you can run with it, but like it was very one dimensional, and he did come to life during like planning of the battles and things like that. And towards the end, it really picked up, and it didn't feel like that long of a movie, but I don't know. I expected more with Ridley Scott. You're not getting Gladiator, I guess is what I'm saying. You're not getting that.
I think it was during the last show, because I remember just the trailer, just one of his line deliveries seemed not right to me. I was like, is this rehearsal? You know, like, are we just saying lines for blocking? You know, it just seemed not.
No. That's flat. How it is.
Yeah, really? Okay. Which,
well, and Ridley
it's
Scott
possible
said
that the plane was that way, too. But
it's possible.
It does not matter the movie
Ridley Scott was saying in an interview that, like, right before filming, Joaquin Phoenix came to him and said, "I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where to go." And you're like, "Oh, great." So, yeah, he's just very, like, you know, it's very meme worthy. There's a lot of hilarious lines where one time he's yelling at a British officer and he goes, "You think you're so special because you have boats." And then he walks away and you're like, that's the line. Okay, cool. And then he goes, "God gave me these pork chops." So I've never seen a movie that has more meme worthy scenes than this. You're going to see them coming out soon.
Start coming out. Well, maybe that's what Ridley was going for.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, picture this. Picture Ridley Scott's World War Boogie. You know?
Yeah. Okay. I can see it.
Yeah. Let's just.
What do we do?
Let's throw that out there in the universe. It's time for a remake of that. Yeah.
But that's it. Yeah. And I rewatch Holiday Inn, the old Fred Astaire, Bing Crosby.
You watch that every Christmas, I think.
I do. But that's it. But let me just backtrack real quick and say. Yep. I do like Napoleon. I recommend it. I'm not.
It didn't sound like it.
So I was writing a screenplay about Napoleon like last year. I shouldn't say writing. I was starting to. And then this movie came out. I was like, well, I don't have any chances. Although you do, because there's so much material in him.
Yeah.
But I guess I wanted more. But I mean, there's never been a true movie on Napoleon. And you have Ridley Scott with a big budget. Doing a 3-hour movie in this day and age, they don't do that anymore. So it's very special to me for that. So see it and make up your own mind, folks.
All right. So Ridley Scott's been kind of hit and miss lately.
The Duel, like.
Yeah. You know, nothing has hit the heights of, obviously, from Alien up through Thelma and Louise and Gladiator, Hannibal even.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is, but it's just not at that level. Yeah.
Kind of like an Oliver Stone. Oliver Stone, some great films and then some bad ones and then not really, you know, people miss. You miss. But
yeah.
I agree more Ridley Scott. More inconsistent than I would like.
So I'm wondering, and it reminds me of like, and I think Quentin Tarantino, maybe he understands, he's like, I should just do 10 and they call it a day.
Oh,
because
maybe, yeah.
So even let's say Alfred Hitchcock had a good dozen, and he also had a
horrible,
you know, and his last pieces good of work point. Were not good, you know.
No, they were unwatchable.
We don't talk about him, whatever, but he still held up as like this, you know, fantastic.
Good point on that for sure.
And there's some other directors, I won't name names, but James Cameron. Because obviously, you know, between Terminator and Aliens and True Lies and whatever, but then there's also the Avatar. I'm sorry, I can't be sold on Avatar.
No.
Or Avatar 2 or 5.
Nobody watches those movies.
Yeah.
Everybody's seen it once in the theater, but that's it. That's not a good film.
But
Titanic.
Yeah. Oh, so speaking of things going down the drain, so Exorcist Believer is now streaming on Peacock. So if you want to see it,
I do. After Dial of Destiny tonight, I'm watching it.
Oh, you're just doing all the let's put all
I haven't seen Dial yet
that
there's something strange in the neighborhood.
So who are you gonna call? Ghostbusters!
Each sold separately.
Have no fear. Venky, Steph, and Spengler are here. So are these ghosts. They've got ectoplasm.
We've been goofed.
Now what?
Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Let's show this pile of dessert who's boss.
Activate Neutrona Blaster.
We ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Peter Venkman, Ectoplasm, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and other figures each sold separately. Ghostbusters, new from Kenner.
Exorcist Believers on Netflix?
Peacock.
Peacock, because we've talked about this.
Yeah, so I'll be curious to get your.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can give it a rewatch or not, but
I don't know if I can give it.
I've not given Indiana Jones, Dial Destiny, a rewatch either. But I kind of
these semi- are all bad omens.
I kind of enjoyed it in the theater, but not. I mean, I also know it was like not good, you know, or certainly not at the level. But
now, is Sala is in the movie?
Yeah, and I don't. Correct. Yeah. So yeah, which we know. I don't him as a person. I can't remember his name. I don't really care for. But
Is he a bad dude?
He's probably not the best. But yeah. So I'll probably. It's one of the Dial Destiny is something you could put on at night and fall asleep and not care and catch up with it the next day. You know.
Is it because you can't recreate magic with the time lapse kind of thing?
There's a couple things. You know, the opening scenes and it's not opening scene. It's like opening 20 minutes, I think. It goes on way too long, and we have the thing. Indiana Jones always had ludicrousness of you know, let's say with Temple of Doom, you know, the raft coming from the plane, and you have to do a real suspension of disbelief,
right?
Compared to the original, and they each one of those have those. So this one also has that. I'm like, why? You're immediately taken out of the movie because instead of kind of enjoying it, you're like, well, why is he? Why are they doing this? You know, and then you have a little bit of Uncanny Valley. You know, they should have just kind of kept it short and sweet, you know, his de-aging and so forth. And as everybody talks about that, his face is de-aged, but not his voice. You know, like,
that's all you hear about.
Yeah.
Like that old. Yeah.
And then Mads Mikkelsen is the villain of the movie. And he's also in the flashback. And by all means, should be dead based on what happens. But they were like, obviously, he's
a part of the film later.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, is that it? No, he'll be back.
Is that it?
Anyway, so.
Did it feel like they knew, obviously, this is the last run with Harrison Ford and possibly the last Indiana Jones movie, that they're like, let's just, they try to do too much to get everything out of him?
Maybe, I don't know. There's enough good pieces in there, but just as a whole, and there's some things like Antonio Banderas is in it, probably too short. Like he should be more. It should be more important. It's like, well, I wish we knew more about him because he's supposed to be you know part of it and so forth. But yeah, there's just kind of like
interesting.
And I don't think Spielberg would have been any help. The directing is fine, you know, but there's a
So it was more of like the script and what it is, their age and all these factors versus
but part of it is like, what is going to live up to
you can't ever duplicate Raiders of the Lost Ark or Last Crusade. You just can't.
No, so it's like, what can they possibly do to bringing back Sala is not having Sean Connery show up as dad, you know. That's just
right no certainly not
gonna do it. But anyway, I'll give it another watch sometime.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll let you know what I think. And we have an exciting news segment tonight.
I don't know. Yeah.
Called Robert's Vault. Now, listeners and viewers, as you know, Robert has more memorabilia of cool things, film-related and other, than the Smithsonian does. And
I didn't know that.
It's fantastic, Robert. Behind Robert, you see a plethora of Alien franchise toys and soundtracks and it's just amazing. But I want to go through. I want to go through whatever you want to do. Oh, Weyland Yutani, I love the shirt.
Oh yeah. Well, they do own us.
They do own us. We manufacture those, by the way. Remarkable piece of machinery. So I asked Robert if we could look at the shoes today, but I feel like you have so much. We can.
Well, let's you asked me to open the Alien Vault, so I contacted Weyland Yutani, and they let us do this. So.
They let us in. This is the Aliens Vault.
So these are some original from the time, you know, the Alien novelization from way back then, and the Aliens novelization.
Oh, look how good a condition they're in too. Yeah.
This is my original.
Hey, can you show the Aliens book one more time?
Yeah.
Look how good of shape that is. I still maintain that's one of the coolest logos ever.
So I used to work in a library, and I hated the. So I would read my books like this to.
Me too.
To ruin the spine and stuff like that. So these are some originals from that back in the day, as is my Aliens poster magazine.
Oh, the official movie magazine.
Official movie magazine that I had a couple of the guys sign when I was out
really?
In LA a couple of years ago that were in the movie. So, but this is all we had. Cool. Pre-internet, this is how we used to learn about the making of the movie.
So much cooler, too. It's tangible. Yeah.
So, you know, I just kind of had the behind-the-scenes stuff, and then I'd read it over and over again. And sometimes this is where you'd see some deleted scenes that we never kind of knew about. So
that's so exciting.
And I think, here's the, different movie books and stuff like that. So,
wow, that is such a cool thing to have.
The original from 1986.
I love that you take good care of that stuff too.
Yeah. Cinefantastique from Alien 3, which.
Oh, nice.
They always
it
do.
It came from development hell. Yes.
Which is true. It was a big deal at the time that this was
a
this movie.
No,
a mess. Yeah.
Fucked.
But yeah.
Hey, her shaving her head was a big deal.
It was, yeah. So
yeah.
I just love that artwork that they did.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
That is so awesome.
Also,
thanks for bringing all this out tonight.
This is the Aliens Laserdisc.
Oh,
special
yes.
edition. So this was the only way you could see
the special features,
the extended edition and so forth. So
wow,
with all the cast and
that's so cool. Yeah. What was the last time you actually like played the Laserdisc?
When we were moving I pulled out some discs just to see how they looked on
I remember
TV. So all right, kids, this is what
they
look like. Yeah.
They're so cool.
Have to flip it over every once in a while. So, but this was a big deal at the time because, never on VHS. This was the only way you could see Aliens Special Edition or The Abyss with kind of all the deleted scenes. So.
And the Special Edition has cool extra scenes that any fan should see.
I'm not a Funko person, but my mentee got me this.
Oh, nice.
And then I don't know where this came from. Little Queen Bishop.
Oh, nice.
That I have.
The Queen.
I did buy this.
Oh, the loader.
I had to have it.
Oh, you got to have it.
Yeah.
That is so
it's pretty good details. And she's even wearing the
box.
Yeah. So,
I love it.
Yeah.
And if you blink, you'll miss it, folks. But the Reeboks are in there quite a bit.
Yeah. Once you see them, you're like,
they do. Even there's like split second shots, but they're in there. Is the loader a action figure?
Yeah. So it's a figure. So Sigourney, you can take in and out. And so.
Oh, okay.
He's not easy to take in and out of there. I'll tell you that. So
the loader.
Yeah. Oh, when Fright Racks did a shirt, they had kind of made this VHS box, which I liked.
Oh, wow. That's huge.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then. I've flipped through this, but I have not read it. This is the
Making
of Aliens, and it is a thick photo.
That's like
book.
A $200 book.
Yes, of everything you've ever wanted to see about aliens, right here.
Oh my God! What year was that published?
I do not know. We can check. But
I'll check it out. But I mean, it was in the last like 20 years.
Yeah. So probably more recently than that. But
It was.
I don't see it right away, but
yeah.
But yeah, so it's a good one.
By J.W. Rinzler, that book?
That is that book.
Okay. Wow, that is so cool.
So I have four pairs of different alien shoes.
Four?
Yeah, because I didn't
four
realize
pairs?
How much I have. And actually, I sold two different pairs already.
Really?
So here's the thing. I have this, and I don't... This has not
what
been...
What is that?
This is Reebok Classic. This is for Alien's 40th anniversary.
Oh, nice.
And it's not open, so I don't even know what shoes these are.
The space. Oh, you got to leave it closed.
Yeah, so this one is closed.
Yeah, you got to keep it closed forever.
But it's kind of has this. The thing is, like, when they do this, they do Weyland Yutani looking stuff.
Nice. And I love the font.
Yeah. And
that's
these,
cool.
I did not.
Whoa.
This, I like the shoes. I did not like the shoes as much, but I saw the box and I had to have the box.
Wait, where do you even buy something like that?
That kind of opens up like this. So these are stompers.
There they are.
These are bug stompers.
Yeah.
Done in the same style, you know, with the.
That is so cool. Have you ever worn those?
These have never been worn.
Yeah. Why would you?
Yeah.
That's like if you go to like an aliens convention or something, like, okay, maybe I'll take them out if I'm meeting somebody.
Yeah. So, but.
Oh, I love the tags.
These come with like little.
Yeah, the marine tags, the dog tags
and stuff like that. So,
wow.
It has, I don't know if you can see US Sulaco.
Oh, the Sulaco. It's like an official.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like kind of like when they have like aircraft carriers. Oh, nice.
Bugs on the back, you know, bug eyes.
Oh, wow.
So
that is no joke.
Yes, they're not messing around when it comes
to.
Where
did you get those? Do you like physically see them in a store?
These I think I order because on Alien Day, they usually kind of come out with different ones, and so that's kind of where these came from.
And Alien Day is on.
Is it April something?
Yeah.
April 28th, I think so.
What are these shiny things?
So we have two things that came out at the same time.
Uh-oh.
So.
I love the Weyland-Yutani logos.
Yep. That's where you know it's from space. It's the original. So these.
Well, of course.
These they call the Bishop shoes. So these are Reeboks, but they're low riders.
Yeah.
They're done in the same style. So I think these are called the Bishop shoes.
Yeah. The Bishop Alien Stompers. Yeah. Those are so cool.
They come with
official. Yeah.
Weyland-Yutani and Sulaco and Bug Stompers and stuff like that.
Wow. So, that is really cool to have. Oh, yeah.
So these can be found. These are pretty popular and so forth.
Pretty amazing. Yeah. They're not cheap either. I've found them online. Yeah. They're not.
These are the not cheap ones that
I know what these are.
Yeah, so.
We know what these are. Folks, you're watching Robert Patterson's vault being opened. And what we have here.
And, you know, I should show even the packaging has Weyland-Yutani.
Oh, the attention to detail. Yep. That's good that you protect the packaging.
I do.
There it is. And have you ever worn these?
These I've worn a couple times to, if I go see Alien in the movie theater, or I was making a cart ride and so forth. So these,
you're not wearing these to get milk and eggs.
I am not. So
there it is. The high tops. Those are so cool. They're so sharp. Wow. Thanks for bringing these out. Now the top Velcro.
Yeah.
Are those both practical Velcros?
Yep.
And the top ones too?
Yep.
Oh,
these
wow.
are all practical Velcros.
Oh, perfect. That is so cool. There it is. You take really good care of your stuff, which is great.
I put them right back. Well, that's
now,
like
when you wear those, like, though, people know what they are.
The most part, some people do, and then some people, like if we would see aliens, they had no idea that these were part of the movie. But
if you're at like a convention or somebody, people will.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. So people know what they are. So
I've never seen those live until like I've met you. I knew about them. I've just never met anyone that's owned them because they're not cheap.
No, I probably spent quite a bit on them then.
Worth it.
But once I saw them, I'm like, I had to have them. So
you have to have them.
I just did a quick look online where people are selling them for $1,300, $2,000.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I looked the other yesterday when I thought of this and it was like $1,500.
Yeah.
I feel like. Out of all the ones you have, though, the last one's my favorite. They're all great.
Yeah, yeah.
But those are so nice looking.
They're the ones that wore what she wore, that version of the movie. So space age shoes, but yeah. So
yeah, but that's Robert's vault. That's a great segment. Thanks for bringing those out.
That's the quick stuff I could find from the alien.
The aliens. Oh, you have more.
No, I'm sure there is probably more that I have somewhere. So I do know I have the Alien 3 movie banner and some stuff like that. But
with the original poster?
Yeah, like with Sigourney's. Actually, it's like.
Oh, I don't know that one.
It's like a probably 15 foot by 3 foot It's like,
oh, okay.
They used to do different big movie banners, you know, back in the day. So
yeah,
I used to collect those as well. So
oh, cool. I've always liked the Alien 3 poster, just the green, mm-hmm. and there was always the Alien 3.
Oh yeah, Alien cubed, or is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. I have Alien 3, the book, and when we had reading class back in elementary school, I would use that book like every semester or whatever to like, you had to read a book and write about it. And finally, they caught wise. They're like, you've been reading Alien 3 for a year. And I'm like,
it's a lot to get through, you know.
It's a lot. But yeah, thanks details. For bringing that out.
Yeah.
So cool. But you have so much things to do. I know we don't have to do a vault every show because I know it's probably a lot to take everything out. But anytime you're feeling the itch, let me know because I have a list of stuff we can get into that you have.
Stuff you want to see.
Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween. Robert's got it all.
I do. They're mostly Aliens, not sorted by that. But for the big ones, I do have special storage bins for just Friday the 13th and just Nightmare on Elm Street. And
yeah.
And Halloween, there's I don't know how many plastic bins of special stuff that
it's so great
of stuff. But the thing is, you know, it is good because I'm like, I do need to do some purging. Not that I might necessarily purge any of these things, but
no, I wouldn't.
But there's some things I should probably purge out of here. So.
It's good sometimes to do like an inventory.
Yes.
And like purge it up.
Yeah.
But if you do any purging though, let me know if you're selling anything. I'll let me have first rights of looking, please.
We shall see.
Oh, we shall see. You're like, I'll sell you the Alien Stompers for $200. I'm like, okay. And then I get them, and it's like the action figure shoe. I'm like, well, like, they are the Stompers.
I said, I took it. If you look closely at the picture.
if you look closely at the picture. I did want to bring up this, Robert, because we haven't talked about it enough, but The Stand.
Oh, is that a Stephen King
It's novel? A joke now. It's comical, but... We'll make this a very quick segment, but there's some burning questions. So I'm rereading the book, okay? And I like the book a hell of a lot better than the miniseries, obviously, because it's a book. But I wanted to ask you your thoughts on the characters in the book versus both miniseries, which ones you like better. But if you haven't read the book in a while and you're not equipped, we can table this for another show.
It's been a while, but the first thing that comes to mind is, and it's been a long while, but I remember... You couldn't help but fall in love with Nick Andros in the book.
In the book, right?
And it made it so, and as great as Rob Lowe is, and even the, I can't remember the name of the actor, whatever, couldn't even get close to kind of how you felt where you thought. It was like a big punch in the gut, you know, when he was taken away. So that's the one I immediately remember of was like, what? I get mad at Stephen King. You know,
yeah,
because you get mad at him taking away characters that you love, and obviously he knew what he was doing, but that's the one that first one actually just immediately came to mind, even though it's been years since I read the book.
I couldn't have said it better myself. That's the first thing that comes to mind. If you're talking about Nick Andros, I mean, in the book he's going to like the sheriff deputy's house and checking on him and making sure the prisoners are fed and. You know, I know you have to shorten things for the miniseries, but it doesn't come close to the book. Another thing is Trash Can Man. So in the book, he's ambiguous at first, and then you realize there's some like rape stuff going on there of him in the book, which they left out of both miniseries, which is probably a good idea. But he was like obviously very disturbed in his backstory and abused. And then you have the 94 one. Where it's kind of comical, you know, Matt Feuer. And then you had Ezra Miller, who comes in like 8 episodes in and this is like drooling. And you're like, what is going on? And then I remember we watched this and you were like, I think they can only afford Ezra for like one day or something like that. Because it was like, the life for you. He's all over
like,
the place.
Like, what's he doing? And I would say 80% of the viewers probably did not read the book and are like, who the hell is this guy? You know, like, were we supposed to know who he was, you know, or like,
good call.
Was he under the thumb of Randall Flagg, which he really wasn't up until, you know what I mean? Like, he was just doing his own thing until I think Randall kind of took notice of him to bring him in, bring him over to Vegas and stuff like that. But yeah, it is kind of, because I kind of forgot about the character for the new miniseries completely because he just wasn't woven in at all.
Right. He just, you didn't, there was no explanation. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't read the book, you're kind of scratching your head.
We could maybe do a read edit where we can take some scenes from The Flash, you know, early Trash Can Man, and then what it became and so forth.
I like a PBO and H, peanut butter, honey, and cheese with, you can't rush a good sandwich, dude.
See, we could intercut the New York scenes with that. And he'd be like running, and he's like, what's going on? You know, like.
Yeah. And the New York scenes in the new miniseries were not filmed in New York, and you pointed that out.
Yeah, all New York scenes are shot in Canada, no matter what.
I'm not as good with the Canadian city stuff,
yeah.
But I am good if it's in L.A. When they try to pat, like in Transformers, when they're in New York, I'm like, that's Figueroa Street in L.A. That is not New York. But you were good, and we were in the knee-deep in the pandemic, and you were like, I got stand locations, everybody. And I'm like, oh my gosh. It was so clutch.
That's not the East Coast.
That's not the East Coast. One other thing was Franny Goldsmith. Mm. Really a bitch in the book, to be honest. I mean, you just rude. There's a whole backstory with her boyfriend where she gets pregnant. She's kind of like, I don't care. I'm just going to like go away and I'll let you know if you can be the dad. And, her parents like weren't the greatest, you know, in the miniseries, the 94, her dad's very like, oh, look, we know a published writer, Franny McCullough-Harold. And then in the book, they weren't like great.
Yeah.
I feel like Molly Ringwald, because it's Molly Ringwald, she did a good job in the 94 series, but much more likable than I thought the novel.
So, Stan 2020 actually did the character more like the book, is what you're saying.
They did. They really did. Yeah,
which is sad, because she's supposed to be one of the hero. You know, like, you know.
She's very unlikable for a lead, for one of the good guys.
Yeah.
You know?
It is kind of, yeah. So, I don't know. I haven't read the book in a while. And last time I did read was the unexpurgated version, which is probably not
right. The unabridged one? Where they?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what I'm reading
years
now.
Later, yeah. So, because obviously, I remember I had the original paperback that I read. It was a big deal.
In the original one, was there the Black Junta scene where they're they're shooting? There's some bizarre scenes that King wrote that absolutely did not make it to the miniseries, but I forgot about that. I never read that because I never read the unedited version.
They used to call it the unexpurgated version or something like
that. Yeah. And the uncut or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in there where, I mean, it's 1,000 pages long, so you're getting a lot more meat. But anyway, we can circle back to this. I think Dick Andros is perfect, though.
Yeah. That's the one just immediately stuck out because I'm like, I don't know how they would do it necessarily, but, but yeah, I was, and there was a YouTuber that was just comparing or whatever, and I forgot because I was like, remember how mixed up we were with the Stan 2020 where it was flash forward and flash back, and it was just the whole nonlinear just did not work, and eventually it kind of caught up to itself. But then same thing, they're like, I didn't realize this character was the same character later. Like people didn't get, and there's a couple characters I didn't get.
Well, they look the exact same. They weren't like really de-aging or using different actors.
No.
It didn't work. Even if it was pre-pandemic and like right after, you don't need to do that for that kind of movie. That's a movie you need to be linear, I think. Yeah. I don't know. And
it's not finally, a podcast, and listen, we're talking about The Stand.
We're talking about The Stand. Sorry, folks.
Or Tubi. Gotta get that in there.
Please go on Tubi today, download the app, and start streaming. And finally, it's time for my favorite segment, Blind Man's Bluff, where we go through one of Robert's wonderful, lovable pages. Are you ready, Robert?
Oh, let's go.
Can't wait. And the description is, I didn't quite get this completed in time for Christmas, but here are my location visits for the much-beloved classic blank.
A Christmas Story?
Released in 1984... It was a big hit with some backlash for its violent scenes.
Silent Night, Deadly Night.
This film, with a few others, helped garner in the ridiculous PG-13 rating under our thinly veiled sensor, the
Gremlins.
MPA. Gremlins.
I was like, oh, I got, what is took it? Me three tries.
Oh, it's so good. This is a great page. I've been here before, but we got to do it again because this is a Christmas movie, Robert.
It is.
We're in the season.
Came out in the summer, though, of course. So.
Okay. So we know this is the Warner Brothers lot.
Yeah, we start at Warner Brothers, and I think that's the same alley where in Friends, was it Marcel the Monkey or whatever, Jean-Claude Van Damme is working their monkey.
Is it?
I think that's the same alley that they're working, you know, where they see them, and then
looks like
he goes down this side of the street, and then, of course, in the next shot, he's supposed to be coming up the street if you go down, if you skip.
Oh, yeah.
So then we kind of
I think it
up.
Is.
Yep. So, and
the Mogwai shop, but that guy could have avoided a whole lot of trouble if he just listened.
Yes, he just stayed home, and he walks by the, from Pee-wee's Big Adventure, the psychic and stuff like that.
Yeah.
As well, so
cool.
You can actually kind of go down these steps as well, but and then he walks back off up towards the alley where Spider-Man kissed upside
down. I was waiting for that.
Yeah, it's like
you have to include it.
Yeah, and it's better known. Or obviously, that's the Annie. The back of the thing, and also where they shot the Purple Rain cover.
Right.
Staircase.
It's perfect. This is the shop.
Yeah, well, they put Mogwai shop. Actually, sometimes it says at Warner Brothers that they call it the Mogwai shop.
You've seen it up there on some tours.
Yeah, so that's my picture of. The thing right there. Yeah.
So they still use that. That's cool.
They do. Yeah, so they
like once in a while they have it up.
Every once in a while. So, and then I did some behind the scenes shots just because.
Nice.
And then here we are at Universal. I didn't have a drone with me, but this is kind of their courthouse square, but best known for Back to the Future and all that kind of stuff. So
I love it. Have you watched this movie as a recent?
No, I have not. So
me too.
In a couple of years, so I should give it a look. So that's Universal, and then we scoot back to the now defunct Warner Brothers Ranch. All these houses are completely demolished. So
that's sad. Unfortunately, they're no longer there.
And you are absolutely right. Even those trees are gone. So
that is sad.
Mr. Peltzer's house next door. So they did a pretty good job with the snow, you know.
I think so. Yeah. This is back at
Universal. So this is my. I was on the wrong side of the tram, but this was 19. Some of these are 1985 shots. So everything was still actually looking the same. At the time where Montgomery Ward, but this is all pretty much different. And
makes me want to get a Burger King.
Burger King would always show up in the behind the scenes of these movies for some.
Yeah, they always did. Yeah. They were always like a Back to the Future.
Yeah, they must have got.
They must have had a deal.
Yeah. So.
Right.
So the bank obviously is no longer, but that was also Cafe 80s and also the 50s Diner and Back to the Future. But
that is Cafe 80s and Back to the Future.
What it would have been. That's where it was, but now it's long gone. So.
And the 50s Diner in the first one?
In the first one, yeah. So
perfect.
We can skip down a little bit and go to there's the porch. And then this school is no longer there. This was also in, was it the Music Man and everything? So what it used to look like, but now they kind of redid it. So, but that's where the school was.
Oh, I love the Music Man.
Yeah, so little Corey Feldman.
Chip Boopy. Buddy Hackett. Classic.
And then the bar was back at Universal Studios where Phoebe worked.
Going on the handsome cab ride.
And then we're at Warner Brothers Studios when they're taking a walk home in the snow.
Oh.
And then if you go down a little bit, so keep going. But Phoebe's house has a couple different doors to it. But they call it Phoebe's house because obviously Phoebe Cates lived there on one side and Phoebe Buffay. From Friends lived on.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so it's the same.
Oh, that is so cool.
Actually, I went into that house. This is my last tour, so.
Really?
It's kind of nice, yeah. So.
The house like a set?
Yeah, so it's a working set. I mean, you can film inside that particular
house. It's not just a facade.
Yeah, that one's practical. So you can go inside, so it's pretty cool. Yeah, so more Warner Brothers, the pool at Warner Brothers Ranch. So
Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Vacation pool, but they just kind of built a facade around it and made it look like it was the YMCA pool. So
that is cool.
Movie magic. And
movie magic indeed.
Yep. So, and that was the back of Mr. Peltzer's house. Did we go past that? I can't remember.
I'm sorry.
So right here, this is where, or go up one more.
Okay.
Is it? Yeah. So, so you can kind of see some of the different shots where this all looked the same. Kind of.
Oh, yeah. Who are all these people inside? Just people on the tour?
So this is when I was on the tour. I got a special tour for the Warner Brothers Ranch with the fan club from Scarecrow and Mrs. King. So
House
was the main house. So they were more excited to be inside that house. And I was more excited to get in the backyard because I was like, this is where, you know, the Monster Squad was. And
that's cool.
This scene was, you know, so they kind of built that little porch for the kind of bulldozer to kind of the tractor to destroy it. So,
okay, cool. These are great shots.
So, that looks same. The church, of course, is Warner Brothers Studios, back and forth to Universal.
I love the shamrock.
So, and then Mrs. Deagle's house, which is also a practical set at Warner Brothers Studios, where you can go inside.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is it? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so you can go inside that house and get some
poor pictures. Mrs. Deagle.
But yeah, that house hasn't changed. It's kind of better known as the Growing Pains house. But
oh, yeah. Show me that smile again.
Yeah.
Show me that smile. Robert is going to do a page on this movie. By the way, happy anniversary to Christmas Vacation, Robert.
Yes.
Margo?
Yeah, so I don't know Margo. Yeah, that was shot at the...
Oh, remember the shot? Yeah.
Warner Brothers. So he's right in front of Ross and Rachel's house. Is it?
Oh,
Ross,
cool.
Ross and Monica's house. Is that their family?
It would be Ross and Monica.
Yeah, Ross would be off. So inside there's the staircase where, dare I say, Fat Monica came down in the video. Yeah.
Hey, they alluded to it.
Yeah, so...
They owned it.
So let's keep going.
Okay.
The gas station and so forth. So this has been redone multiple times, but this was the gas station.
Oh, it was a mobile.
At Warner Brothers Ranch.
It was at the ranch?
Yeah.
Okay, this is Happy Holiday Travel Agency. Still at the ranch, this whole thing?
No, this is Universal, so. Back and forth between these two studios, so.
Oh, that's so cool.
I probably overdid it a little bit with all these shots. So.
No way. It's awesome.
Yep. So, and there's me on the Billy's porch. And so I don't know if I've updated with my latest picture. Oh, I think I have. So Corey Feldman. I've not met Phoebe Cates, but I did see her at the Oscars.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I forget this, Mrs. Peltzer. She's one of my favorite ladies. So I was really, she was at the Hollywood show unannounced.
She just rolled up.
Yeah. So, and I actually had her sign. You've got the thingy. We still say that line. You know, if somebody has the remote,
you've got the thingy.
Got the thingy.
You got to keep it going. Guy, he's a great actor. Yeah, and he's a cool shot. Where was this at? I mean, I know they're different.
That's Joe Dante. So he was at Horror Hound. Also showed up unannounced.
Is at Horror Hound.
Yep. So I had to quickly buy a Gremlins poster for him to sign. So.
That's a great shirt, by the way.
Yeah. So that was the Kiefer Sutherland and a couple of Lost Boys were at that one. So I had a.
You got to do it up.
Get that shirt, yeah.
The great Joe Dante. Nice. This is a great page, Robert.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Gremlins still holds up, I think.
Gremlins absolutely holds up. I'm going to have to watch that. That's going to be maybe after Dial of Destiny and Exorcist tonight. If I'm awake, I'll fire it up.
I wish Believer. She does some conventions, but the mom from Gremlins... I really would like to meet.
Oh, yeah.
She's also the mom in Stand By Me and the mom in Scream. You know,
Yeah.
So I feel like she would be a good one to meet.
She would be good. That's cool. All right. That'll be your show tonight, Robert, unless you had anything else, sir.
No, just go watch those bad movies.
Got to go watch these bad movies and then cleanse the palate with the Stand.
Feeling tired? Watch Exorcist the Believer.
I am going to watch it, and I'll let you know. But thanks for bringing all the aliens.
We'll have to discuss.
We will discuss. Yes. And thanks for the aliens stuff. That's awesome.
You're welcome.
Well, I wish I could go play with them right now.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're like that friend that's like, can I go over and play with him? It's like, he has a family thing tonight. I'm like, I can see him in the house.
It's just, he's lying. Right, he's like, he has the 3-story Death Star, the only one on the block. Like, I know.
I know. Well, that'll be our show. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Podcastle's Set Jetter Saturdays. We will see you on the set.